We are in the second part. We are in the second part here of a short series through Christmas with the Magi, the wise men, and so we are with that. And we're going to be in Matthew. We're going to continue on in Matthew. And last week we saw, and we were reading a little bit about the Magi, where they come from, and all that they were doing. They were searching out this king of the Jews. They were searching out. They had this thing with King Herod, and they're on their way, and they're following the star. And so we see that they were focused. We see that they were beginning to get closer. And I believe their excitement began to rise. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to look into Matthew chapter 22. Well, I hope that you do. I hope that Christmas is never boring to you, that you see the true meaning of Christmas. And sometimes we can get just as Ashley said, we can get sidetracked on what Christmas truly means. And so we need to really look at this, because I think if there's some guys that we can really look at and get the understanding of it, an amazing pieces through these wise men, what we call the Magi. So we can see a lot through here. There's not a lot written, but as you continue to read over it and begin to look through it, there's a lot. We don't know a lot about them, but what they've done, there's very important pieces with that. There's some very important pieces for that as well. So, if you have your Bibles, we're going to Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up here in verse 9. It says, after they had heard the king, they went off. They heard King Herod. They went off on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. I don't think we look at that piece too much, but that star that went ahead of them, is a special piece. It is a special piece. God designed that. I believe that either God made that star shine brighter, or he'll use a special star or whatever, but God was in that. God had that star there for a purpose. So God was, this whole thing about Jesus was all about from heaven. Jesus comes down on earth, but even in the skies and the mass and the universe and all that, God chooses this one star, and it's going to be a special star. It's going to be over where Jesus is. You see, sometimes I think that we miss it, just like how bright that star was. People were missing it. Oh, that's a bright star. Oh, that's a bright star. But there were some that knew it. They knew what it represented. I think some of you are forgetting what it represents. I think we as Christians, we're forgetting what that star, what that piece right there represents, what Jesus represents. We're beginning to walk, we see it, and we're like, oh, okay, whatever. And we're missing it. But these guys didn't miss it. These guys were following the star because they knew what it represented. They knew that if they follow the star, they will find this King of the Jews. And it says that it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. It sounded almost like it was moving. Follow up, follow, 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 follow. Until it stopped, until the star stopped over to where Jesus, where the baby was. These guys did not stop. They were on a journey. And I want you guys to realize that you are on a journey on your walk in this world with Christ as well. And he has us going in different directions, but we are continuing to follow him and with him. Because we can't get to the next place, as we see with the Magi, get until we learn and understand who Jesus really is. Until we really understand that he is important. He should be important in your life. I'm going to stop right here. I want to tell you, because this is a sidetrack right here. So I'm going to tell you, church membership is not going to get you to heaven. I just need to say that today. Church membership is not going to get you to heaven. I don't care what you do in the church. It is not going to get you into heaven. I don't care who you're married to. It's not going to get you into heaven. I want to say that right now. For some reason, I was not planned, but I just want to tell you, it does. I don't care who you are. You're not going to get to heaven unless you have Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. That you truly understand what this Christmas gift is really about. Okay? So they get to this next piece, which really amazes me. I'm excited about it. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were excited because they're there. They follow the star. They are there. They're overjoyed. They're super excited. I'm telling you what, I've been noticing more and more gloomy people. People that are not happy. Christians that are not happy. They're not happy in life because things aren't working out the way they thought it would be. They're not happy in life because of some circumstances. They're just not happy in life. I'll tell you, your life is not going to be happy until you get it right with Christ. You're not going to be happy because everything except Christ has a lifespan. Everything in life has a lifespan. Your house has a lifespan. Your cars have a lifespan. You have a lifespan. Your animals have a lifespan. Your job has a lifespan. But with Christ, it's eternal. This is not my stuff I have studied for. This is the stuff God is bringing out this morning. I want to tell you. And I want to tell you something. Just love your kids, love your grandkids, but never put them over God. And I just have to say that this morning. Number one, Him. Number one. If you can't make Him number one, you made Him number two, and it's a formula for letdowns. You're going to have a lot of letdowns if you don't make Him number one. These guys were overjoyed. Remember, last week we were talking about they came in an entourage. They didn't come as we see the pictures of three. It's kind of like this picture. They came in an entourage. These guys were very important people. They're always by the king's side. Kings and kingdoms, where these guys come from, they're not going to let some of their best guys go out there without any protection, without supplies and people to cook dinners and meals for them and all those things. There was an entourage. Whenever they went, they stopped camp. They set up all these tents. It's like a little city. Tear it down, get back up, and go. Next day, they build a little city. Pack it back up and get up and go, because they were on a mission. They were searching for this king of the Jews. And when they followed the star, that was their compass. And when they get under, it's finally there. They were overjoyed. And it says, coming to the house. Now, they came to a house, not a manger. We know Jesus was born in a manger. But there was time that has spanned. These guys are still on their journey, and they're in a house now. And they come into the house, and they saw the child with his mother Mary. They seen the child. And I'm going to tell you, when this group of men, this group, this entourage came, everybody in town knew it. I mean, it was like, whoa, look at, this is something special coming in. They didn't know what it was for. These guys stayed focused. And they come to the house, and they come inside, and they're very excited. They are overjoyed. They have made it to their destination. And they saw the child. There's nothing more joyful, really, than seeing a newborn baby. This wasn't a newborn baby. This was a child. We could probably say maybe 2 years old. And they were overjoyed. And he didn't come in and say, hey, let me hold him. He didn't come in and begin to speak about a lot of things, I don't think. I'm sure they had some talks maybe afterwards. But they came with a purpose and to fulfill a purpose. Just like us when we come to church. Fellowship is great, but it should not be number one. But some of us make it number one. Some of us haven't picked up our Bibles in months. Look at me now. I'm talking to you. Some of you have not picked up your Bible in months. Some of you, your prayer life is not there. It's back there, not here. And so what we see here is these men came into the house, and what did they do? The Scripture tells us that they bowed down. They came into the house. They see the child and the mother. They come in, and they don't bow down to the mother. She's not king of the Jews. Special lady, but she's not king of the Jews. They don't bow down to her. And I'm going to tell you, these people over in the Orient, these people over in the Middle East, they're not going to bow down to any woman. I'm going to tell you that right now. Back in these, they're not going to bow down to any woman. They came down and they bowed down. I believe they put their head down right in front of Jesus. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. I don't know. We don't know a whole lot about Mary and Joseph's relationship in many ways. We know there was that time when they were in the temple and they lost track of Jesus. I think Joseph and Mary were like, whoa, you know what? These guys came in and they bowed down in front of Jesus. Some of us, maybe we need to learn to bow down on the knee of Jesus more than we do. We need to have more humbleness in ourselves, more humility, more love. American Christians are filled with pride. Sometimes it's just a prideful spirit. These men, they bowed down and they worshiped him. And they knew they were in the presence of the king. They didn't understand it all. But this was to be the king of the Jews. They didn't understand it all. But they came and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And when they worshiped him, they did something else too. It's part of worship. It says, then they opened up their treasures. Now these men were, they had things. They did not come ill-prepared. They knew what they were going to do when they got there. They wanted to see him, acknowledge him, give their respects and bow down to him, to worship him. And then what they did next was they opened up their treasures and they presented him, not them, not Joseph, not Mary, but they presented it to him. They presented him with gifts of gold. And why gold? Gold is something that is a gift to kings. Gold is used in the temple all over the place. It's part of the worship. And then they began to lay down this frankincense. This whole frankincense thing is this costly incense that's used in worship in the temple. Then they used this myrrh. They give that as well. They give that. That was frankincense. They used it for embalming. And so we see that these three gifts, as we can say, you know, these things like gold and frankincense and myrrh, and just to kind of let you know, your myrrh was used also, you know, like, you know, what they represent and the gifts. And well, we know that when Jesus was on the cross, they lifted up the stick and he put it up there, and it was gall. And it has myrrh in it. And they presented these things to him. And these are kind of gifts that were given to kings. And it says, they opened up their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold and the incense of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So they presented their gifts, they did what they did, and they left. But I want to tell you that their journey there, I'm sure, was different in their heart than when they left. They were on a pretty hard journey getting there, and it was long. And they could anticipate getting there. Do you anticipate when you get to worship God? Do you anticipate it, or do you say, well, I'll get there when I get there, or I'll do what I'm going to do, or I don't really want to get up this morning? I'm telling you, our worship is horrible. Our worship in the American church, and even, I'll just say it, New Life is not the greatest. We don't even know how to worship because we're not experienced. We don't desire to worship. We get so caught up in ministry, sometimes we need to learn how to worship. We need to learn how to stop and bow down and praise God. These kings, man, they had it. These wise men, they had it. They had it. They may not have had it all down, but they had what was right. Their heart was right. And they put their heart in motion. They put their heart in motion. The kingdoms where they came could have financed the journey. But when they gave their gifts. So maybe they were financed by their kingdoms where they were, but they opened up their treasures, their personal treasures, and they gave to Jesus. I'm asking you, how's your giving to the Lord? I've heard so many people say, you know, I can't give. And when the church prays for you to get a job and you get one and you get your SSI, I'm not telling you to give it all. I'm just telling you you ought to give something. And God answers your prayer and then you walk away and say, well, I can't afford to give. Really? You prayed and God answered it and yet we still cannot afford to give? We can't afford to do that? These guys gave their best. They gave their best. Here's the thing. We trust Jesus with everything but our finances. We trust Jesus with everything except the things that we hold closest to our heart. Those are things that we want to have control over. Oh, when we're sick and ill, we're asking everybody to pray for us. But when it comes time to giving, we're some stingy people. There's some stingy people before the Lord. There's some stingy people. Listen, the more you talk about not giving, and the more you're just kind of self-justifying why you shouldn't give. These guys gave, and they opened up their treasures, and they gave, first of all, they gave gold. You know, you could purchase things with gold. They gave frankincense. You use that in worship at the time, and they would just worship the Lord and use that in the temple. Represents that holiness and righteousness. They gave mirth. So they gave things that he could live off of, things he could use, and even to the end. They didn't listen. They didn't ask him how he's going to use it. Did you hear me? They didn't ask the family how they were going to use it. A gift is, when you give a gift, you don't say, okay, now you can only do this. There's a church in town that told me, and I'm not going to say the name of it, but a church in town, the pastor says, you know what, we are in financial issues, we have some financial setbacks right now. And someone gave the church a couple $100,000, but we're not allowed to touch it. It's set in some kind of different piece, and we only can use it if something would happen to this degree, or we can only use maybe the interest off of it, if it's used for the purposes that's set in there, for whatever purposes it would be for building or whatever. And it's like, wow, we're going to give gifts, but we're going to put strings on it. So when I go to the grave, I'm still in control. That's not a gift. That's a stumbling block. That's dangling the carrot out there saying, try to grab it. And they just keep pulling it away. I love what these men did. They laid it down and they turned around and they walked away and said, it's all yours. I did what I was supposed to do. I laid it down. And I did what I was going to do. I worshiped. I bowed down. I worshiped. I laid down my gifts. And I'm walking away. I have that overjoy, this peace in my heart. I imagine they wanted to tell everybody. I imagine that they wanted to tell everybody about what was going on. But we know that having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, because I think they were planning on going back to Herod. That's why they were given that dream not to go back. So they returned to the country by a different route. Because they were intending to go back and tell Herod. God says, no. No. And then what we see here is we see that when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He got up and he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. It's amazing because this is one of the few times where you see an angel say, I'm going to come back and we'll have a conversation again later. I'll come back and tell you when you can leave. I think there's so much going on here and the world just missed it. God has it all. God's got his angels moving. There's some other things in the birth that's in like the book of Luke and you know that we're not getting into. The angels come down and worship at the birth and those kind of things and the shepherds. But this is about the Magi. This is about this piece here today. So they went to Egypt. And it says in verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. So he had all the baby boys that were 2 years of age and under in this area and in the outskirts of Bethlehem to be killed. So you have worship going on. Then you have a flea going on. Joseph, Mary, Jesus go off. And then you have this rampage of what the devil loves to do. Come in, destroy. Destroy. I want to tell you today that I believe the Magi came with their best. They came with their best. They were on a mission. They were on a journey. And they came with their best. They knew what their purpose was. They knew what their journey was about. They were going to do this. They were going to make worship important. They were going to pay respects to him by bowing down to him and worshiping him. And I believe also that they were going to present gifts to him. I'm not sure if they anticipated being overjoyed, but when we begin to do the things that God's called us to do, there's a joy in it. There's a peace in it. I think when they left, they had a peace that they probably never experienced like that ever in their life. I think some of us have that peace, but I think so many of us have lost our peace with God because we put everything else in front. And all this was about is how important is Jesus to the Magi? How important is this baby, this child? How important was this King of the Jews to the Magi? It was of the utmost importance. They did not send someone else for them. They did not send someone else or some kind of representative on the journey in their place. They went themselves. I think it was so important that they gathered up all that they needed to gather up for a long journey. To put every other business aside. This is what's important. That's what we need to do on Sundays. Did you know that? We need to make God important. We need to make worship important. We need to search him on Sunday mornings. We need to do that every day of the week, but there's something special about Sundays. We need to search him out on Sundays. We need to find that place where we can bow, that we can bow our heads, that we can bow in front of him, and we need to pray and give him respect and give him honor that he is due. And we need to worship him through song and singing and praise his name, and we need to do that. And then when we take up offerings, and we need to have something. You don't come to a king with nothing in your hand. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you know anything about the old days of kings and kingdoms, and you don't go to them and ask them or do anything in their presence without a gift. These men knew that. So they presented gifts, and when they were done, they went home. They went home. I think there's a lot of people like Herod. The church is a threat to them. Jesus is a threat to him. It threatens his lifestyle. It threatens all those things. We see another king. We see another Herod that causes issues with John the Baptist. But this Herod here is a mess. But the king, but the wise men, they were focused on what they were doing. They were focused on what they were doing. You know, next week is the 20th. In your bulletin, there is an insert that has some things on it. It doesn't have to be those things. Those are just ideas. Things that we're going to be able to present to Jesus, the church, the ministries, or whatever, next Sunday. Here's the issue. You're going to have the opportunity to express the best way that I think that we can do and experience this experience that the Magi had. We're going to see it. We're going to search out Jesus tomorrow. You're going to get up in the morning, and hopefully that you can get along with your spouse. Somehow that's always the worst Sunday, the worst day of the week. Somebody's not getting ready fast enough, what have you. And you're going to search, and you're going to get in your caravan, and you're going to go to church. And you're going to drive to church. You're not going to have to go on a big, long journey. Some of you are. I get 26 miles to drive. We're going to go on a journey. We're going to park this big caravan right here. We're going to be able to come in here, and the first thing we got to do is we got to be excited. I see less smiles in church than I do anywhere. And so we ought to drop in here and be ready and be overjoyed when we step in this place. I haven't heard a shout in the church in a long time. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to be able to come in here, and we're going to be able to worship. We're going to sing songs. And actually, this tomorrow is going to be the longest day that New Life has ever had, if you stick around for it. We're going to have worship in this, we're going to have worship in the morning. And you'll be able to, if you want to, you can present your gift Sunday morning. You're going to have a chance to come down through some when we have this, some special song. We're going to come down. We're going to lay. You're going to be able to lay it down in front of the altar. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you do that, I want to ask you not just to lay it there. I want you to stop. I want you to kneel, just like when you pray, and you pray, and just keep your hand on your gift, and just hold it there for a minute, and just thank God, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be nothing expensive. I want you to just get the experience of it. Lay it on the altar. I want you to thank God for what he has done for you, and just have a moment with God. And when you walk away, you leave it there, and you turn and you walk away. And you go back, and we begin to sing, and then after that, we're going to do what the Bible does a lot of times. There's a big feast. We're going to have a big feast on the afternoon when we're going to gather together. When we're going to come together in fellowship. And we need to spend time together. And we're going to eat together. I'm going to ask you, for some of you, to quit sitting with the same people every time. You cool up with your families, and that's great. But you do that all the time. Get to know some other people. You get the chance to do that. And then, maybe a couple hour break or whatever, but then we're going to come back again if we're going to worship again. And we're going to be able to sing, and we're going to be able to do some things there, and there's going to be an opportunity to present a gift. If you didn't get one, you want to bring it. It doesn't matter what it cost, whatever it is, you just bring it. And you lay it before the Lord, and you pray, and you turn and you walk away, and hopefully you get a moment of where you've had that experience, and we're going to sing again. Then we're going to go into communion. And then we're going to go into candlelight, where we just kind of calm down. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And then we're going to all get together, have that opportunity, and then we're going to get in our caravans and our entourage, and we're going to go home. Now here's the difference. You're going to come, now we should be able to come one way with our hearts. And when we leave, our hearts should be overjoyed. Amen, Randy? Should be overjoyed. But some of you are not going to catch it because you're still bitter about something else. We're still upset about something else. Don't let the devil. The devil's always going to be there, just like he wanted to. And he destroyed all those two-year-old boys and down. He's going to try to destroy your spirit, get you distracted, get your attitude all over the place. Don't let him have it because you're here to present yourself to Jesus. And if your mind is thinking, well, what's the church need this for? What's the church? Your whole mind's in the wrong area. Your whole mind is in the wrong area. You see, let me tell you something. All through the Bible, this is what I see in the New Testament. This is what I see. Jesus comes walking into town, and somebody says, oh, Jesus, son of David, come over. And Jesus gives them a healing. Gives them a healing at the pool of Bethesda. Turns around and gives the lady, grabbed a hold of her, and she received a healing because she was bleeding. He turns around, he raises a girl that she was dead, and raises her up, raises Lazarus from the dead. Everybody was receiving, 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 and receiving. And that's what we want. Receive, receive, receive. But I'm so thankful that we see this one moment in the Gospels where they came to Jesus and they gave. And they walked away. These men were more overjoyed than most people that received that received whatever they got from Jesus. I can prove that. Man comes back and to Jesus and says, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus says, what is it? Well, where's the other nine? I thought I healed 10. Where's the other nine? See, they got caught up in what they wanted to receive. Here we see these men coming and giving to Jesus. This probably be the. This could be. This is either going to be a disaster next Sunday, or it's going to be something that's going to be great and awesome. It's whatever you want to do in your heart. Because I truly believe when it comes down to the end of the, when the Magi are there, because the house is only so big, I'm wondering sometimes if did Mary bring the baby, did Mary bring the child Jesus out so the entourage could see, or that the entourage says the people that were in the back that were more of the cooks and more of those type of people, they were there. I wonder if they were saying, man, I just want to get a glimpse of him. We've been on this journey for so long. I just want to get a glimpse of him. And then there are people that see him all the day where he lived at, and they didn't catch it. I'm always wanting to see where Jesus is moving. I always want to see where the Holy Spirit is moving. It excites me. The Lord excites me. The Holy Spirit excites me. And what does not excite me and turns me into the complete opposite is when I see Christians walking around humbugging and just sad and just horrible. They look horrible. Attitudes are horrible. They're not happy. And they've forgotten who their Savior is. They've forgotten who Jesus is. The Magi came searching, and they found him. If you're searching for something in your life, Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit may not have a physical star for you to follow, but he has something for you to follow. The Word of God, the designed prayer life, a scheduled worship services, phone numbers to brothers and sisters in Christ to call for encouragement or share your story. God has given us all the things we need to have a successful life, to live out his will. But we still refuse to do it God's way. We want to be like King Herod. We need to be more like the Magi. It doesn't matter how long the journey is. It doesn't matter what it costs me. I'm going to get there. And when I get there, the overjoyment comes. And the peace comes. And then we give God reverence. And we bow down and we worship. And we're not asking for something for a moment. This time we're going to lay something down and give God something. And we'll leave a gift. And we'll turn around and walk away. I'm going to end with this. When David, when the angel was wiping down and killing people, and King David was in there, and the man he was talking to says, hey, I'll give you this, and you can go ahead and make your sacrifice. And David pretty much says this, I will not do this. It does not cost me nothing. This has to, I will pay for it. I will pay for it. And he pays for that land. He pays for that spot, that threshing floor. He pays for that. He does that. I'm going to ask that you really consider. It's not because I think the church needs all these things. It's not about that. It's about you experiencing, giving something to Jesus in a way. Do you know that in Africa, I was just reading, this is amazing, that when they do their weekly offering, some of them just, they dance all the way up to the altar area. And they present their gift to Jesus, and they dance back. They worship all the way through. We sit to humbug. But the African people, they have this freedom. And they dance up to the front, and they drop their offering, their gift, or whatever it is, into this jar, and they just praise God for a moment, and they dance all the way back. Isn't that amazing? I wish we had that freedom. But we'd be called Pentecostals and charismatic and all that. We put too many chains on ourselves. My question really today for you is this. How important is Jesus to you? Is he just your Savior? And that is amazing. He should be your Savior. But is he your King? A king means someone's over you. He's our Creator. He's our friend who sticks closer than a brother. But there's something in America that we don't understand very well. That's being able to bow down before one. You see, we had some political people that went overseas once. One of them was a female. And she disrespected the other person, and it turned pretty ugly pretty fast. She did not understand their customs. And everybody was so mad, but the thing was, she should have knew the customs. When you go into another country, you should know their customs before you go there. In India, the king, the one they call their king, you're not allowed, like for me, I'm 6'1". Somebody like Kyle or Alex, we would have to do this. If he's 5', we cannot. Your head cannot be higher than his head. So you have to come down low. And we would think that that's wrong. I'm telling you, we have a king, and we need to treat him as the King of Kings. I hope that your heart is right with God today. I hope you're taking Christmas as it is, a serious piece. That the greatest gift that was ever given was Jesus, God giving Jesus here, bringing him here. The greatest gift that Jesus ever did was lay his life down. So they gave their all, their best. What is our best? And that's what I'm asking. Can you give God your best? Regardless of where and what it is and how it works, just give him your best. Let's go ahead and stand. Let me give you that opportunity. You're on your life's journey. You're doing the things that you need to do. But how does that look when it comes with you and God? How does that look with you in this Christmas season? You have an opportunity to ask God to work on your spirit right now, your heart. That something exciting can happen for you this Christmas, right now. Something exciting can happen for you. That your heart may be turned more over joy, to be joyful in the Lord. That it may not have been there for a while. Maybe it hasn't been there for a while. That you start looking at Christmas, when you see a star now, every time you see a star, you start thinking, there was a star. And it moved, and people followed it. And it stopped over the child Jesus. I don't know what it is that you need to do, but the Holy Spirit does. So let's just ask the Holy Spirit to do what he does. Father, I just ask, Lord, right now, that you just speak to each heart that is here today, that we would know where we are when we stand with you. And Lord, if it's an attitude we need to work on, I pray, Father, that you would just work on those. Lord, if it's a stingy and a greedy heart and a stingy pocket, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just work on those that need that. But Father, if it's those, Lord, who just kind of put you to the side and I'll worship when I want and have this carefree attitude that's not right at all, I pray, Father, you work on those individuals as well. But I pray, Father, this moment, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us as you would. It's in Christ's name. Amen.